in the portal and then out of the portal and now back in the portal. We got that story coming up straight ahead. Some portal news activity. Unusual, even for the portal. Welcome in. It is the Maize and Blue Reviews. Good afternoon, Michigan football. We're ready to take off here on this Monday. It's great to be with you. We have lots to talk about with what is going on with Michigan. The football roster tomorrow, tonight, is the last day for the transfer portal to get your name in there and all of that. So it could be that Michigan's roster for next year is all set. They had a recent addition. We'll get to that with the football roster and if they are all set to go. Meanwhile, basketball, they made an addition today and it looked like they were all set. Maybe with the number that they had, and you're looking at two players that are still in question, but then the up and jump, something else that happened, somebody putting their name in the transfer portal. We'll get to that. So, you know, that's you got to keep your, you just got to be ready to go. That transfer portal, guys can be jumping in, jumping out, jumping in anytime. But we'll start with the NFL draft. And, you know, the NFL draft, most people just like the NFL draft, like myself. You love football, and it's something in the offseason that makes you think about football, and then, you know, you're getting the new additions for your team, all of that. So it's in the first round, you like to see, you hear so much, and it's talked about so much, these prospects, and then finally see actually where they land. That's cool, but as everyone knows, this year it was in Detroit for the first time ever. And not only was it in Detroit, but the Lions had their best season in 66 years. Great timing by the Lions from last year going out and getting to the NFC Championship game. Remarkable. Not completely out of the blue, but also a little bit better than most people thought. But it was cool to have the Lions and what they have been doing in where they're at in Detroit with the draft, and not it being the same old Lions where it was always like, well, this is their Super Bowl and all these jokes that, you know, the jokes were out the window. And so the Lions getting the draft, having their best season in the first time in 65 years. And then, oh yeah, Michigan winning the championship, the college football Natty for the first time in 26 years in the state that's hosting the draft is about too good to be true. And then all of those Wolverines that came off the board, starting with the JJ McCarthy at number 10 overall, and then ending up with Kojo in the seventh round, and the number ends at 17. So you just take a breath. A lot of times I get, you know, you like rumors, you like, you know, anything that goes on with recruiting, negative things always are front and center, gets people like, what's going on? This was just all great stuff over the weekend with the Lions, with the draft, with the Wolverines, with all of the players that ended up going to the different teams. Now, I thought that let's see what I would have thought Jalen Harrell could have been drafted a little bit higher. I would say the same thing about Trevor Keegan, that I thought that he would be drafted a little bit higher. And then I thought, you know, even those guys that ended up not getting picked, it was going to be the possibility of the sixth or seventh round, as it was four seventh rounders, and it ended up being 13, which was the most that any college team had selected. So I know a lot of people, myself included, were looking at the record that the Georgia Bulldogs and, you know, Harbaugh declared, we've got, what did Harbaugh declare? That we got 18 guys that are going to get drafted and eight guys on the offensive line. You know, he was saying that last year. And, you know, Harbaugh has said a lot of things over the years. The last year, all those things that he was saying, like all these superlatives, you know, most of them came true. So you're kind of, you know, you're really wanted to listen to what he had to say. It was like everybody making their predictions about it. It was like everybody was picking Michigan to, you know, they were one of the favorites. They were in great position. And then they finished it off and weren't able to do it. But it was a great weekend. And day two, you know, they brought Michigan out. All the players that wanted to be there, there were a lot of them. Some of the guys that will be up on that stage for the NFL draft next year in Green Bay, they went up there. Derek Moore had the trophy. Josiah Stewart, you know, saw him. Colston Loveland, Sharon Moore, you know, he was with the team. They went right up there, and they were up on the stage. Now, it wasn't perfect. They could have handed the mic over to Sharon Moore and said, hey, Sharon, you want to say go blue or what? You know, something like within 5 seconds. Go ahead. They didn't do that. So he was kind of just standing up there, and then they went into the draft. It would have been nice. You know, Sharon could have said, hey, go blue, smash. And, you know, that would have been perfect. But, you know, the whole weekend, you could ask for, you know, you could have asked for a couple more players drafted. You could ask for maybe Sharon Moore to say smash. But other than that, I was like, you get a really nitpick. It was tremendous all the way through with the Lions, with the maize and blue. And no, in Detroit, looked like, you know, the state of Michigan came out great. And then obviously the city breaking the record, having, you know, 700,000 or whatever it was, just fabulous. So that's where I sit right here. I start with the NFL draft before I get to the rosters. We'll see if anybody had any points that they wanted to make about the draft or anything else that that went on over the weekend. Moose had something to say. I saw him on Twitter questioning some of the moves and things like that. Moose laying down the facts, saying 13 players drafted, 6 signed undrafted free agents. 19 of 20 is pretty damn good. Yeah, that's pretty damn good. McCarthy, Sanderstill, Colson, and Wilson all projected to be day one starters. Yeah, I don't know. Roman Wilson, I guess they did get rid of Deontay Johnson. So maybe in wide receiver, day one. But I would think that, yeah, Colson and Sanderstill, is JJ going to start from day one? At the number 10 pick? Probably. AJ getting in, and he says only so many spots, but guarantee they will be signed as free agents. Jim wasn't lying. Nah, he wasn't lying. He was it just sounded kind of out there when he was talking about all of the players that were going to get picked. It was just like when Harbaugh was also talking about JJ. He's like, he's the best quarterback. All these guys, you know, he could be. It wasn't the craziest things. Now, craziest thing, if Jim really thought he was that great, he could have moved his quarterback. He would have had to eat a tremendous, but you know, he didn't do that. So, you know, everything that you say, a lot of that, of what Harbaugh has to say is for effect. John makes the point that if Donovan Edwards and Rod Moore and Mekari Page had declared for the draft, we would have broken the record. And do I think that those three players would Page for sure have been drafted? I don't know. Donovan Edwards and Rod Moore, I do believe, would have been drafted for sure. So there's two. But, you know, maybe Page. I'm over here to knock Mekari Page. So maybe he would have been. And let's see. The guys are talking recruiting. And I've got no problem with that, because as we move on, now that the draft is in the rear view mirror and the roster is pretty much set, recruiting is going to take front and center. And that's where AJ is as we make this transition over to the football roster. And when it comes to the portal, you know, we talked about Michigan will look in the portal for a quarterback. They will look in the portal for a wide receiver. Maybe on the defensive side, they'll look for a defensive back. It doesn't look like they're going to get a quarterback in the portal, or maybe a wide receiver. We'll get to that in just a moment. In the defensive back, they did end up getting, what, three players out of the transfer portal after they got 10 last year. All three of these guys are looking like they're going to be big-time contributors, though, I would say. Josh Preeb, Michigan's best offensive lineman through the spring. They'll be in there at left guard. That's a big-time pickup. Ja'Shawn Barham, if you've heard anybody talk about Ja'Shawn Barham, this guy is just instant awesome. Tremendous player. Fits right in there with the superstars on the Michigan defense. Great addition. Looks like, you know, if Barham's one of those guys, he'll be walking up on that stage for the NFL draft. Maybe on that first day. That's how good he is. And then just recently, late in the weekend, maybe on Thursday, Arkansas State, Michigan goes and picks up a kicker, Dominic Zavada. Now, Zavada has got a stick of dynamite in his leg. He's hit from 56 and 53 in his 2 years for the Red Wolves. And overall, 85% on field goals in the 34 of 40, 85% overall. So those are three impact players. Adam Samaha, you know, it's the least competition. I don't know if you're just handing him the ball and saying, but you bring him in and you see the experience that he has, the statistics that he has. I would say that if I was guessing right now, it would be Zavada as Michigan's field goal kicker and then Barnum and Preep. So three big-time impact players that they get in the transfer portal. And they still could get back a very familiar name in Amarian Walker. Amarian Walker, who was a wide receiver and then moved over to corner, didn't have the greatest spring game last year. And then he went in the transfer portal, but he wants to come back, apparently, to Michigan. So and that could be as a wide receiver. And if you remember, Amarian Walker, on the, you know, 6'3 rangy side, great measurables. You were looking at some of them. He did that three cone drill. Tremendous athlete when you think about Amarian Walker. So you stay tuned on that. But other than that, I don't know. So if he left the portal and then came back, he would be a portal addition. That would be four. And not too shabby, and you could still get grad transfers. Maybe there could be, so you don't rule anything out, but you don't set it completely in stone, but this is the roster. But the big news out of that, it doesn't look like Michigan is going to add a QB, and that was a question, whether or not there was someone out there that they thought, either with Jack Tuttle's injury, that could linger, and they would just, you know, make an addition to help the quarterback room overall, or if they found someone that they really thought could potentially be a starter by coming in the spring, even for the first game against Fresno State, and take over and win that job. It doesn't look like they're going to have somebody, so they're going to go with what they have right now. Now, how does that make you feel if you're a Michigan fan? I think that because of last year and just the way the transition went with Jim Harbaugh, he didn't leave to go to the Chargers until the 24th of January. If they knew Harbaugh was leaving earlier than that, closer to when the championship game was over than when he actually did, they might have had a chance to pick up somebody that could have been in the mix for the starting quarterback. They got behind the eight ball because of the Chargers and Harbaugh and everything else. I was going to say unique. It's kind of a unique situation. A coach, you know, bolting after winning the championship like that. But so they're going to go with the guys that they have. And, you know, Orgy, we know we've talked a lot about him. We'll talk a lot about him this spring and summer, what he brings. He's a work in progress, but can Michigan beat Fresno and Texas and with Alex Orgy as their quarterback this year? The answer to that is yes, they can. Yes, they can. How much he progresses, how much he gets down with the offense, accuracy wise, all of that. That's what we're gonna see when the season starts. And you know, as much as we're gonna talk about the backups, I would say hopefully you don't see Davis Warren in any of these games unless they're over. As you're talking about, then you're having an emergency type situation. You don't want to get to that when it comes down to it with Orgy struggling. Hopefully it's just Orgy and away you go, and you're looking pretty good there. So that's where it's at with this football roster. And let's take some of the feedback. Antoine is saying that it seems as though Michigan is about to pull Marquise Davis from Ohio State. Now, he is a running back from Cleveland, a four-star running back from Cleveland. And so what does that say to me? I don't know that if they seem that they do, but I do know that Michigan brought in Tony Elford from Ohio State. And when you're talking about running back, so Elford may have a relationship with Davis. Also, Michigan last year had success with Jordan Marshall out of Cincinnati. So it doesn't mean it used to mean if you're a highly rated player in the state of Ohio, Ohio State picks what players they want. But it's not like that anymore. So on a lot of levels, and then the way Michigan runs the ball, if I was a premier running back, I would want to go to Michigan over Ohio State. Why would I want to go to Ohio State? To pass protect? I would want to go to Michigan. So I could see where it could happen with that. So we'll find out. I don't know the specifics in his recruitment, but there you go. Moose is talking about an offensive lineman. Gatch is going to announce on the 3rd, May the 3rd. And Moose is, I don't know where he's getting his numbers, but he says Michigan has a 94% chance of landing Gatch. Pretty high number. I'll take your word for it. Richard says he doesn't know for sure, but it feels like the Lions reached a bit from the offensive lineman from British Columbia. Looks like he's slow to my eye. Well, not only did they pick somebody that didn't play college football, was playing up in, you know, Canadian, 6'8", 350. I think everyone's going to look a little slow if you're 6'8", 350. He's a project. If Brad Holmes had not had the success that he had in the first 3 years, then everyone would be all over the selection, Richard, that Holmes has made. But Holmes has been so good. It's like a shooter in basketball. You go down, you make 3, 4, 5 threes in a row. Well, you want to pull up from inside the half court, throwing up early in the shot clock? You know, what do we call that? A heat check. Well, Brad Holmes with a little bit of a heat check here, going off the board and, you know, giving up a future third and looking like a reach. I agree with you. That's what it seems like. But it's also Holmes, and the way he's been going, you let him cook a little bit. Last year, I didn't like either of the first two picks. I also, you know, looked at positional value. that gets talked about an awful lot in the draft. And then, you know, here's Holmes in the draft, like mocking people that talk about positional value. I don't really like the, you know, if you win it all, you want to do a little trash talk, you know, I'd like to say, hey, act like you've been there before, or, you know, carry a big stick, but walk quiet. Those would be my preference. Now, Holmes has been great, and, you know, him and Campbell seem like they want to talk a little trash to everybody. They're pulling out receipts, and, you know, is it a little bit early, a little bit much? Is that just where we're at now? Even the GMs and the coaches are going to talk. That's all right. It's just a little bit. I can see how people would be like, these guys are running their mouths a little bit too much. Well, they can run it a little bit, and they haven't been able to back it up, so can't complain too much about it. Moose is full of percentages today. He's talking 89% for the running back out of the state of Ohio, Davis to Michigan. That, again, is a pretty big number. Here we have Sports Production Services Network. Hey, guys. Roman Wilson will be another Steelers wide receiver steal. Hashtag go Steelers. Well, the Steelers do the best job in recent history in the draft of picking wide receivers and having them be stars. I mean, it's just, you go, I don't know, you do go before Antonio Brown. Let's see if I can remember who the guy they had before Antonio Brown. It was like, well, they picked that guy and he's pretty good too. But it just kept happening over and over. And the last one they picked was George Pickens, and he's excellent. Deontay Johnson is excellent. Some of the other guys, the wide receiver from Oklahoma State, that didn't surprise me that he was going to be pretty good. So there's no doubt that if you're looking for a team to identify a wide receiver, if I'm Roman Wilson, I feel pretty good about going to play for Mike Tomlin and the Steelers. John is talking about official visits start at the end of May. Hopefully it's a big June for Michigan recruiting. That sounds good to me. Toby has a feeling Davis Warren would be the starter. John said getting that kicker was an absolute must. Moose is making more predictions. He doesn't have the percentages over here, but he had Gatch and Davis percentages. Now he's putting a Galloway and Williams Jr. down there as well. AJ is saying, I'm almost hoping that Michigan doesn't get a wide receiver, even though depth-wise they need one. I'm hoping it forces Michigan to use their tight ends, split out, giving us more of a running advantage. I think they're going to do that anyways. Antoine, I think that if they get Amarian Walker or not, Colson Loveland is the number one receiver on Michigan's team. There's not going to be any argument in that. Now, we could argue who is going to be number two. The best guess right now is Tyler Morris. But, you know, you see what Samaj Morgan has been able to do with the ball in his hand, and Samaj Morgan could catch. So he's a little bit of a wild card, too. If you told me it was going to be Morgan over Tyler Morris, that doesn't sound like it's crazy. Frederick Moore, who Samaj Morgan, when he was talking, said, oh, he's a route runner. Who did he compare to as a route runner? Oh, he called him Jerry Jeudy, who is known. Alabama, Denver. I think he got traded to Cleveland. Didn't have a very good year last year, but Jeudy known. And Deontay Johnson, who I just mentioned, out of the Steelers. Great route runner out of Toledo. And that's what they're saying about Fred Moore in a nice spring game. So, but what we also saw in the spring game is Michigan's got a couple different tight ends that are about 6'5", 6'6", and about 255, and they all kind of look like Colston Loveland. They're big, and they can run and catch. So, yeah, having Marlon Klein as a big old tight end that you can flare out and then drag across the field. And then Deacon Tinelli also looked like he's that kind of a player. So could the tight ends catch as many passes as the wide receivers this year? And would that be good for Michigan football? Well, I mean, Loveland had a great year. Oh, Loveland will probably lead Michigan in receptions, wouldn't you think so? You have a good chance when you have a guy like that, although he will draw a lot of double teams. Touchdowns, something to think about. We'll, I'm sure, do a lot of that, kind of number projecting and stat it out for these guys. Let's see. Scott has entered the chat. He's talking about Cornelius Johnson. Would have thought that he would have been and gone much higher. Jim Harbaugh got a steal. I thought after seeing the combined numbers of Kojo that he would have been drafted higher than that as well. He got this RAS score, which was in the, you know, one percentile of the last 20 years. And then just overall looking at the raw numbers from the combine, he was put up one of the best scores in the last whatever 5 years. So, yeah. A steal for Harbaugh in the fifth round. Yeah. You know, the thing is, in your if you're Kojo and you go in the seventh round, you know what the coach thinks of you. You know what kind of shot. Normally, you don't think the seventh rounders, they get a shot, just like undrafted free agents. You think, you know, they got a shot to make the team. Kojo's got better than a normal seventh rounder, just like who was the undrafted Wolverine? I think Barnhart. No, Barnhart. Whoever it was, actually, I can just go back and look. I don't have to wonder because I have the list right here. It was Barnhart. Yeah, Barnhart also has a chance on that Chargers team. You know, Scott's questioning that statement from earlier about Roman Wilson being a day one starter. Yeah. Brian asking a question about the Red Wolves kicker that Michigan got out of the transfer portal. Zabata coming in as a sophomore. He has kicked for 2 years in college ball for Arkansas State. So I would say that he would be a junior. Zabata. He sounds like a defenseman in the NFL. John making a point on AJ Barner. He went higher. Then the Big Ten tight end of the year, Cade Stover, and Junior Colson went higher than the Big Ten linebacker of the year, Tommy Eichenberger. Both of those Buckeyes were frauds and overrated. All right. Let's see. Scott getting us up to the date on all of the different news. If you did not hear, Juwan Howard was hired by the New Jersey Nets as an assistant. Scott pointing out that Zavada is related to Jan Stenerud. Jan Stenerud, for those who don't know, was a longtime NFL kicker. Who did Jan Stenerud kick for, the Dolphins or Chargers or maybe both? I would say Dolphins. Having said that, after watching the draft in the second round, they bring former players up there, and a lot of them did a good job. But the one that stood out the most to me was a Chargers. Ralph Benerska was up there. That guy was awesome at the mic, everything that you're looking for. That's why he was up there. He did a really good job. A block likes a JJ spot in Minnesota. John wants Zavada to be the next Moody. That's it. Let's see. Richard. Richard says, as long as Orgy starts the season, spelled O-R-G-Y, as long as Orgy starts the season with his short passing game intact, he should be a terrific running quarterback here at Michigan. Yeah. Yeah, well, we saw him. You know, that was the thing that I know turned some people off, his first two passes that he threw in the spring game. Well, it was just a little flare out. Those can be tough passes, actually. That to I believe it was to the fullback to get him going, Bredesen, and then the other one. Man, they schemed. the receiver open right down. I mean, like you would think, man, that is a pass that you can just make all day long, and he missed it. So then everybody, you know, you do that, and you know people are going to be wondering about you. And there was a couple other ones that are going over here and over there. Already mentioned that about the spring game. Scott wanting to know the nature of the Tuttle injury. They did not say what the nature of the Tuttle injury. I'll give you a rumor. And I know this is somebody just told me this, but somebody that knows some things. And so, but I wouldn't like declare that this is what it is for sure. But whatever Purdy had, is it a URL in the elbow? He could have been dealing with something like that. I don't know if there are degrees to an elbow strain or something like that. So that's it. Antoine is laughing, saying this is not insider information. You just have to take care to look for it. Yeah, I'm all good with insider information, Antoine. I'm good with I'm good with people that follow recruiting up to the minute, up to the second, that are just looking for every morsel that they can find about Michigan football recruiting. I'm all right, but some people do use insider, and sometimes I am not right up to the second. And then with recruiting, you kind of have to be right up to the second on everyone. My thought is that with the changing of the seasons, and now with the spring game and the NFL draft and the rear view mirror, I think a lot of my attention, more attention, is going to be on recruiting. But I get it. You know, recruiting is all year round, all the time. And you got to have that information in front of you. So I get that. Antoine following it up, talking about Ohio State, that they don't give credit to Michigan for nothing. Yeah, when you have the biggest rivalry in sports, that's kind of going to be the way it goes. Right, Johnny? J.O.? J.O. Jr.? Scott is saying that Michigan's running back room is pretty stacked already. But there he is. Okay. Antoine loves the tight ends. Here's people giving AJ a pat on the back about his opinions on Michigan. And there's another one thinking Cornelius Johnson is a steal. Moose is talking about, we don't need any five stars. Michigan needs a big body wide receiver. I hope we can land Porter from New Jersey, 6'3". And 190. What about Amarion Walker? He's 6'3". You know? That's it. Let's see. Do we have more on the feedback when it comes down to it? Here is OT. O'Leary is going to produce this year. People always overlook him because he's been hurt during the season. And a walk-on. He's not a walk-on anymore. He got a scholarship last year, but I think O'Leary, he showed out so much in the spring game last year that people used him as like the example of don't take the spring game and things that you watch in the spring game too seriously, where Michigan had a championship team. Michigan was, you know, the number two team in the country heading into the season. They were loaded. And even though there were people in the summer saying Michigan doesn't have the wide receivers to compete, and I was saying those people are wrong. But, you know, O'Leary, he had a lot of guys in front of him, and you're right. You deal with some soft tissue stuff, and you get down to the depth chart, and you've got a lot of receivers in front of you. I could see O'Leary being a factor this year. I'm with you on that. You watch Tyler Morris and the play that he made in the Rose Bowl against Alabama, and it was a real eye-opener. An eye-opener in that they had the camera angle where he was burning down the sideline, and he looked like he looked like he was shot out of it. It was just impressive. It was like, this is what you're waiting. This, it just looked high level. He looked like an All-American. It looked great. And so, and then he's backed it up with a nice spring. So he's done such a fabulous job that he appears to be, if you'd call him, is he a breakout candidate? I mean, he is the number one wide receiver for Michigan coming out of spring. And then however far you want to go, the M&M boys from Morris to Morgan to Moore, do they have a spot for an O'Leary in the mix there? Yeah. I think we were talking about the depth and you talk about the starters. I mean, how many? Like, that was the thing last year. They're like, Michigan doesn't have the receivers. Like, they've got Roman Wilson and Kojo. How many more? And they got Loveland. It's one of the best tight ends. There's three pass catchers. You talk about six for depth, but really three that are out there. And who are we talking about right now? We're talking about Tyler Morris and Loveland. So, and then Samaj or Fred Moore. So, you know, where's that spot? Of course, there could be some injuries, and then you're starting to talk and use some more of your fingers there and everything else. And Antoine is going down the too deep. You've got some true freshmen in there. Klein can run. He's one of the fastest guys on the team, regardless of size. And yeah, Tonelli looked pretty good in the spring game. What you could see is that Tonelli is big, he's fast, and he can catch. All important things. Now, he's got some guys in front of him. We'll see all of that. Michael likes O'Leary. Moose talking about the draft. Jim was like, okay, nobody wants to draft you. I got you, Cornelius. There you go. John wants to move Barham around. That way we can get Cole Sullivan sometime at linebacker. That dude will be a linebacker three by November and a starter next season. Maybe. He looked good in the spring game. Everybody that talked about Cole Sullivan in practice says he looks good. Wink Martindale, like a couple days into practice, like, it's Cole Sullivan. Yeah. I remember talking with him on, it was a signing day or whatever. And you know, he's wearing a Penguin shirt. He looked the part. He was ready to go. Some of the stuff I don't understand. What's going on? Johnny saying O'Leary hasn't done anything in real games. That's right. He hasn't. Here's somebody new. Courtney. If we go to a Patriots-type passing game with big physical tight ends, quick, speedy wide receivers, running game, and a time rhythm short passing game, they are going to have that kind of approach. The part is that if you can't hit plays where you can push the ball down the field and take the top off of a defense, then you're taking those safeties and you're clogging those way up 10 yards from the line of scrimmage. If you do not have, and it's not just a threat, you have to have somebody capable of getting in there and hurting you with the deep ball that scrunches everything else up. So yeah, I think Michigan is going to a short passing game and, you know, mostly running. And are they dropping Orgy back in the pocket, letting him throw? No, they're not. But it hurts overall your offense when you're not able to do that. I think of Patterson. Jay Patterson couldn't throw the ball down the field. Pretty good quarterback, decent quarterback for Michigan, but was he a championship quarterback or more? It's a tough position to play because Jay Patterson was pretty good, but he couldn't set his feet and throw the ball accurately down the field. And by the end, when he was playing against Alabama, it was just kind of like, wow. It never happened for him. Made one or two that way. He threw one against Notre Dame, kind of with his feet, maybe a little bit of a pop fly. And then who was it that he did it? Was it SMU? He was kind of in the pocket and he put in a, but that was it out of all of his throws. Not a lot there. The Pats, here's the Joe Milton, Broadway Joe. I don't know why I'm calling him that. He's not Broadway. Big arm Joe Milton. They were showing, everybody was talking about, like we talked about, Joe Milton. They're all like, this guy has the greatest arm ever. They were, let me see if I remember the story. Somebody was telling a story about Joe Milton. I don't remember who it was, but he said wherever he was, he threw a, he said like an 80, 86 yard rainbow that hit the golf cart where he said he was throwing it to the golf cart and then he threw it there. Joe Milton, if you took a selected 25 passes from Joe Milton and you watched him throw the ball at, you know, 6'5", and just it's just such a, you know, normally when I see lefties, Tua, you know, he throws the, you know, the perfect pass. Just gorgeous. Just a pure passer. I also think that at times that when you watch Joe Milton as a righty, just incredible. Michael Penix has that as well. There's that lefty, but yeah, Milton just is it's the perfect, he's the perfect looking quarterback, and the throw, it just looks so effortless, and then it flies like a missile, and then he can also at times, you know, put the arc on it, but woo, you know, it's one of those things, if he ever corrals it all, that's why you take a guy like that, because he's going to have a higher ceiling than anybody else you're getting at late in the draft. But, you know, does he really have the toughness required for football? I don't know. He didn't like at Michigan, but maybe he was hurt in thumb injury, or maybe he has toughened up, you know, those kind of things. But those, like I said, if you took 25 just cut-ups and you couldn't watch anything else and you just watched that, you'd say, man, this guy's the greatest quarterback ever. Nobody throws the ball just the effortless, and as it just rockets, it's like he's got a bazooka and that he fires it. Sit around talking about Joe Milton forever. Exhibition football this year, if the Pats are on, I'm going to watch. I want to see Joe Milton come in. Antoine's talking about Lil Ronnie. Oh, Lil Ronnie, you know, Lil Ronnie's, and that's a nice, I like you talking about Lil Ronnie. That is Kendrick Bell, who caught the touchdown in the spring game. I had a cousin, and his dad was named Ronnie, and he was Ronnie, and you know what we called him, Antoine? Lil Ronnie. So I like it from you. All right. Find you someone the way Dennis loves Joe Milton. I love watching Joe Milton throw the football. That's for sure. Ferris making a prediction. JJ will be the best quarterback in this draft. Going to Minnesota is a factor in my statement. Well, on a Michigan pod, Ferris declaring that JJ is going to be the best quarterback is something I would expect, and not the furthest, not the craziest thing. I thought myself, I think if all of us, Ferris, if you and I were given, instead of Ryan Poles, were given the Chicago Bears GM job, you and I, Ferris, co-GMs, would you look and immediately say, we're taking JJ? Like, the first thing I would have done is I would have called Caleb Williams and said, Caleb, we're taking you. We love you. We love everything about you. We're hoping that a wide receiver falls in our lap at 9, like Odunze. We'll take him. We're ecstatic to have you, but we want to put you on the Mahomes plan. Patrick Mahomes sat for the first year, and then we got him up there. We'll let you compete for the job, but we will sit you to see what he would have said about that. And then I would have gone to the Ohio State quarterback, and I would have said, hey, you know, this is going to be like it was with the Chiefs and Alex Smith. They had a playoff-type team, and I would have that's the way I would have gone about it. Unless somebody wanted to give me a first or second rounder for Fields. Instead, they were like, we've never had a quarterback since Sid Luckman. Everybody's going to kill us so much that we're just going to give away Fields. And we'll take Williams, and then we will get Odunze, and everybody's going to be really happy. And if it works out, people won't care so much about that sixth-round conditional pick that they gave to Pittsburgh. But it's stuck in my head that they didn't play that right. But that's a long way to go to say, Ferris, we can all say that on a Michigan pod, but unless you're the GM there, I mean, even all the Michigan fans here, would they have really taken JJ in front of Williams and Daniels and May? I would have taken him in front of May. I can tell you that right now. I think JJ, and I do think that it will not surprise me if McCarthy has more success than any of the other quarterbacks that were taken in the first round. Yeah, part of it's Minnesota. Just part of it's, you know, watching JJ. Also, part of it is knowing that even if you go back to the 84 draft, you know, the six quarterbacks that they had, you know, Marino and Elway and Kelly, the, you know, three great quarterbacks, and O'Brien and Eason, there's five. Who was the other one? That, you know, there were the busts they had in there, sort of busts. The Eason, I guess, you know, wasn't a total bust, but, you know, Blackledge, did I say him? I'm trying to remember all six of those guys. Half of these guys are going to be busts. And, you know, so Caleb Williams and May, it could work out. Yeah, it's hard to put all bias aside. Moose, it's hard to put. This is what I find from that. I find it from media members who are like, they're just like total, like Michigan complete fans. And it's great for Michigan fans. They want, you know, your media members to be like, hey, you're a big Michigan fan. Don't ever do anything except talk about Michigan in a positive light. But then they try to shift gears. And it's like, it's hard to put all bias aside unless you practice putting bias aside. It's a very difficult thing to do. I see it all the time. You know where I see it the most, Moose? Is I see it from fans when I watch games with them. If I'm watching a game with a bunch of Michigan fans, and I get it, you know, you see a call, ah, it's the worst call in the world. And then you watch the replay, and I'm like, yeah, you know, it really wasn't the worst call. Yeah, it was. Like, they're looking at it like, no, like, they don't care. Same thing, though, from Lions. Same thing everywhere. It's not just Michigan fans. It was like somebody seriously tried to write the story after the 2018 game about the, you know, the JT Barrett being short, and oh, you know, the Ohio State, you know, the referees were on the take, and this guy had gold pants, and people were fed up with it, and people were eating all that stuff up. Come on, you knew better than that. But you guys like those kind of stories. Easton did make it to a Super Bowl, no doubt. No, Grogan, was that the one I was thinking of? Yeah. Yeah, you know, I forgot that Eason. So that would have been 84, and the Bears made it to the Super Bowl in 85 against the Patriots. And so Eason, what did he do after that? So he wasn't a bust. There it is. Okay. I'll take two more here, and then I'll get to basketball. Belichick was pretty brutal during the draft. I don't think he liked May at all. He did seem to like Mikey, JJ, Jenkins, and Junior. I saw a couple clips on Twitter with Belichick. I have also seen people saying that they really liked Bill Belichick during the draft. So I don't know what else to say about you, OT there. I'll take your word for it. I'll take it under advisement. Here's the couple more that we're going to take. I said two more, but let's get to it. Mr. Jones is worried. Well, you know, I can understand being worried. Let's just, for people that are worried about the orgy being the quarterback, like, they've got a chance to beat Texas. I'm waiting to see what he does against Texas. I'm not going to sit around gnashing my teeth. I'm not going to see him. Yeah, I guess we could watch him against Fresno State and you'd be like, oh, wait, there's no way they're going to beat Texas if he plays like this. But then if he plays well, it'll be like, oh, you feel a bit more encouraged. We're not going to be able to get away from that. How he plays in the opener against Fresno State is going to factor in how we feel, how he's going to play against Texas. But let's see how he plays against Texas before we start, you know. And but being worried about it is completely understandable when it is that. Mark is saying that real Michigan fans understand the pain. Fair-minded, no maize and blue glasses, lots of well-founded fear of some dreadful play or call. Yeah, I mean, there's some of that too. This is true. You know, it's always the worst when it's against Michigan. Right, whatever fan base you're with, I mean, it's always going to be the worst call. You know, the thing heading into this season, there were a lot of folks referencing the Maize and Blue Review when I first, it's been 3 years now I've worked there, but people were like, oh, Michigan never gets any calls. You know, calls always go against Michigan. And I was like, you know, that's not really true. You know, Michigan gets more calls actually than, and nobody was buying it. Like nobody responded like, hey, you're right. And then I put up some examples like the 89 championship game against Seton Hall. Ramil Robinson at the end of regulation was just cutting across the lane and the Seton Hall player, you know, was just playing defense and they called a foul against him. And now Ramil walked up there and knocked it, but it was a, you know, it was a touch foul. Was it a foul? I don't know. I know a Seton Hall fan. It was like Ramil was not fouled. I mean, but you know, you forget about the ones that go your way. There were a few calls this year that went Michigan's way that, you know, Michigan ended up winning it. Would they not have won the championship? You know, probably not. I think they still would have won it. I'm thinking off the top of my head, there was a call against Iowa when they were pinned back to their own. And I don't know if the ball was hit or something, it was fumble, but it was a real tough one. I mean, it could have gone either way. But when the offensive coordinator was just incensed for the Hawkeyes. I mean, it was like, and I felt his pain there, and I thought Michigan had a break. I also thought Michigan got a break in the national championship game when I think they hit a pretty big pass downfield, and they got called for a hold. But you go back and you look at the hold, it's kind of like, ooh, Michigan got a break. But, you know, those – you don't remember those. You remember the other ones. And, you know, trying to, like, say that – I think popular teams, home teams, star players, star coaches, they tend to get, it's a human nature type thing. They get a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt when it comes down to that. You'd like to see that, think that all the officials are, you know, taking nothing and just, you know, concentrating, putting themselves in position, trying to do everything. But, you know, things play into it. And the home court, that plays into it. It's great when you're, you know, the like Tarek Skubal now. Tarek Skubal is having a tremendous year for the Tigers. Big lefty throws it in there and paints the corner, and he's going to get a couple strikes going his way that otherwise he might not. Corey has some confidence in Alex Orji. OT says it seems premature to just pencil Orji in as the starter. I'm going to say no to that. He went through spring, and he was the quarterback one heading into spring. He comes out of spring, and he's the quarterback one. Michigan sends one quarterback to the press conference after the spring game. It's Alex Orji. The Detroit Tigers say, hey, send us your starting quarterback to throw out the first pitch last week. They send Alex Orji down. Alex Orji is Michigan's starting quarterback. Now, could they get, you know, I'll put it just in the stranger things could happen. He cannot, you know, could he get beat out in winter ball, but I would say that you might want to put it in Sharpie, but I don't think it's premature. It would be a shocker if Alex Orji wasn't the starter against Fresno State to open up the season. A shocker, OT. Okay. We've got basketball to get to. I can make a long list of bad calls going against Michigan. No doubt. There have been a lot of bad calls that go against Michigan. You are right about that. That happens. But, you know, this doesn't sound very much. This doesn't sound like much fun. Calls end up evening out. You don't like hearing that. Fans don't like hearing that. The calls end up evening out. That's it. That's enough of that. I tell myself, don't go down the road and start talking about officiating and calls and, you know, maybe Michigan, you know, doesn't get all the calls, all these kind of things. Let's go to basketball. All right. So basketball has all 13 spots accounted for as of this morning. And then this afternoon, I cannot tell a lie. George Washington III went back into the portal. If you remember, George Washington III initially went into the portal. Then Dusty May got the job, and then he was back on the roster. He was putting something on Twitter. I cannot tell a lie. I'm back. And then now Washington III is back in the portal, so Michigan is at 12 scholarships. And so Dusty can still, with one scholarship remaining, find another player. Now, you have Namari Burnett and Jace Howard sitting up there at the top, two of the players. You know, Cheddar obviously played for the team last year as well. If you have told me, hey, GW3, Namari Burnett, Cheddar, Jace, you know, which one of these guys, if you just say if you could pick, there's more that goes into that, then hey, just go ahead and pick whatever guys that you want. Cheddar for sure. I like Cheddar. I like the way he plays. I was bringing him back. I'm glad that he came back. Then the next three out of George Washington III, Burnett, and Jace. George Washington III was just a freshman last year. Now, he showed nothing. But he was just a freshman. That's what you can say about it. We've seen a lot of. I saw Xavier Simpson play as a freshman and thought this guy couldn't play in the Big Ten. He looked scared. They gave him the ball, and I was like, this guy's never going to be able to. And I was wrong about it. So you got to remember, freshmen, you know, you don't have to hit the floor and be Trey Burke. Not everybody's going to be like that. So, you know, George Washington didn't show anything, but, you know, he was just a freshman. Burnett showed a flash, and that was when Michigan was great last year in the first three games. Michigan was great in their first three games of the basketball season last year. You remember the third game was at the Garden against St. John's, and Namari Burnett scored 19 points in the first half. He looked like Dwayne Wade. I mean, he was driving and dunking and dropping threes and step backs and double shovel. I mean, I was like, wow. And then that was it. Just like Michigan's season, it was kind of Burnett. I don't know if he flashed anything the rest of the year. I don't know if the team flashed anything the rest of the year. You know, they beat Wisconsin. But so Burnett, I don't know. But then there's Jace. And, you know, Jace has shown next to nothing. So, and if Jace's last name wasn't what it was, he would have never been with Michigan to begin with and given a scholarship. He was also at the front of the athletic trainer getting fired or leaving, whatever you want to choose. So it would be best in my mind if Howard found another place to play. I think hopefully that could be. It's one to watch. I don't know why he could be looking at the overall grade point of the team and saying, hey, you know, Jace is a really good student. But you want players. And so Now that he has, I would just say they have another scholarship. We know that now with George Washington III being in the portal. And I would like them to have an additional one. And I would like that to be, you know, Jace's spot. And I know that sounds, I don't know if it's cruel, it's reality. But that's it. Not being too hard on it. That's as much, everybody gets it. The question is this team, do you think, and it's not crazy, but people say, do you think they're a tournament team? And you're a Michigan fan, you want to give Dusty, and you're like, yeah. If I had to, as much as I don't like to say this to everyone, I don't think that they're a tournament team looking at this team on paper right now. I don't see, they have a lot of really nice complementary pieces, guys that could really step up and grow into roles and they could really gel and find themselves and be a factor in the Big Ten where they could, you know, compete in the Big Ten as a, you know, mid Big Ten team. And, you know, if you're a mid Big Ten team, you're talking about, you know, you're going to be right there with a chance to get into the tournament. So maybe. But I just don't. When you're talking about, well, they got a bunch of complimentary guards, you know, who's the man? Who's the guy? Who's the scorer? Who is it? You know, you want to start, well, it's going to be Trey Donaldson. It's going to be like there. I like a lot of the players, and we'll see how they fit together. That's just where I'm at right now for people that want to know. Now, let's see. They've got a scholarship, and as I said, maybe two, heck, maybe even three. It's getting late in the game, but we know one more. Can they get an impact guy? Now they got Golden today. And Golden is a 7-1 pivot back to the basket big. That's nice. Dude averages double figures. You say, who's the best player? It's probably Golden. After Golden, I think that from what I watched, I liked what I saw from Trey Donaldson. Now, Donaldson does not have great stat line at Auburn, but he is 6'3". You remember Mike Smith, who played here just a couple of years ago? He plays a lot like Mike Smith, except Mike Smith was 5'10". Donaldson is 6'3". I got Jalen Brunson vibes watching Trey Donaldson. Now, yeah, that's a pretty lofty comparison, but watch the film. I think you'll see what I'm talking about there. I'll just say probably not right now. Let's see what they add. You know, if they go out there and, you know, they get a bone of, like, if they got John L. Davis, they get John L. Davis, like with that scholarship that they have, you know what I'm going to say? Tournament. They get a player of John L. Davis's ilk, I'm going to say tournament. Right now, I'm going to say probably not. But can they fight? Can they scratch? Can they claw? Can they get out there? And can they surprise me? Yeah. Let's see. Moose. You need, he's talking football. I thought he was talking about that I needed balance because I was, yeah, you need balance. Okay, that's how I feel about the basketball team. Let's see what they're able to do with that last scholarship or two. Football-wise, it's on to recruiting. We'll be keeping tabs. And as always, you want to keep tabs on what's going on with the very latest. You know what to do? Let me tell you. You join the Maize and Blue Review today. And just like we're talking about balance and we are talking about Michigan being a tournament team or not, this is what's going on all day and all night over on the Maize and Blue Review. You can join in and get in those discussions with like-minded Michigan fans. If somebody like me popped in there and started talking about, well, Michigan isn't going to call, you could, you know, thumbs down me and say, hey, why don't you start getting some better takes? There you go. Join the Maize and Blue Review today by going to michigan.rivals.com. There it is. Corey got some hard playing players, some gritty players, you know, buying into the coach and playing hard, being able to shoot threes. I'm with you on that. OT's looking at him. He thinks they're a tournament team. I like the optimism. And, hey, OT, you could be right. They got some guards. They got some guys that can play some defense and play hard. You know, I was going to say you're going to be better than last year's team, but we might be able to take OT, Ferris, Corey G, and Antoine, even though he doesn't like basketball, and we might be able to be better than last year's team. Can't do any worse than last place in the Big Ten. Now that's uncalled for. Thanks so much for watching the show. We'll talk with you on Wednesday. Jim Scarcelli, I was talking with him today. Scar went to the draft. Oh, Scar's got 10 plays that he's going to be looking back at the spring game that he's excited to bring to you. So we will do all of that on Wednesday. Thanks so much for watching. Smash that like button. Leave those 5-star reviews on the podcast. Those are appreciated. And we will see you over on the Den talking about Michigan all day, all night. See you later.